Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from my home near Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And with me I have family sitting all around. They may chime in from time to time, maybe a few days before they get in. But I'm reading to you from my book, The Road to Prayer Mountain, which explains why we're having the Autumn Assembly of Prayer and what led up to it. We're going to be having, coming in here to Branson, Missouri, in just a couple of weeks, we're going to have prayers, actually a prayer force raised up by God, coming in here to pray. How did I get into this? Well, it's a story kind of how I got into it, and it's a kind of a story of how we all got into this move of God, this move that's going to eventually end in the former and latter rain together outpouring. Now, at the beginning of the 20th century, great things happened. Yesterday, I told you and read from the beginning of my book about my family, Carrie Pickard, how she married my great-grandmother, how she married my great-grandfather, Isaac Pickard, and how they moved in two covered wagons to Indian Territory, ending up in Coweta, Oklahoma, where they farmed cotton. Now, we also read that Ike liked the bottle. He was a happy drunk. I always heard he was a happy drunk. And he drank and he sang and made music. And so he would go to town with a load of cotton. They had a farm about a mile and a half outside of Coweta, and the horses knew the way home after he was drunk, and he'd come in singing, and they'd open the gate for him. Now, one night, she hears him coming in singing louder than ever, and this night, he's drunk on the new wine. So then we told about Azusa Street, about actually what happened at the middle of the United States in Topeka, Kansas. There was an outpouring of the Spirit in the 20th century, at Brother Charles Parham's school. That outpouring moved from there into great meetings around this area and eventually ended up down in Houston, where the black preacher Seymour heard it. Seymour took it to California, Azusa Street happened, and the rest is history. But Pentecost comes to the Tulsa area. But before the Bible school in Houston, two women from Topeka came with their message and its spirit to the Coweta, Oneida, Broken Arrow, Tulsa area of what was then Indian Territory. Recognized Bible teacher and woman of prayer Jeannie Wilkerson told me of this fact. Many people in the region, some of whom had subscribed to the preceding holiness revival, received the Holy Ghost infilling with joy. Ike Pickard happened to cross paths with them on a Saturday, which started like so many others for him. He sold a load of cotton and was already liquored up when he passed the place where the Pentecostals were putting up a simple church building. Much to the consternation of the city, the Pentecostals had secretly made a deal for property before it could be stopped. Spotting men working outside, he asked if he could give them some help. Ike, drunk or sober, was an especially friendly man. They said they needed lumber to build an altar bench. Ike went with his wagon to fetch it. When he returned, he asked if he could be of more help. Yes, you can help us build it. When they finished, Ike asked, is there anything else I can help you with? Yes, we need to carry it inside to dedicate it. Inside the church, something more than the altar was dedicated. Ike was changed into a totally dedicated for the rest of his life servant of the Lord and a man of prayer. He instantly sobered. He was born again, and he was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking and singing in other tongues. Shouting and singing at the top of his voice, Ike headed home to tell Carrie, the churchgoer in the family, the good news. To Carrie, it was not good news. What was this heresy? Coweta was troubled over the Pentecostals. The banker and some of the merchants offered to help Carrie put Ike into an institution for the insane. Ike's transformation was amazing, but Carrie watched it through glasses colored with what the townspeople were saying and doing about the crazy holy rollers. Ike repeatedly asked Carrie to come to, quote, the old mission is what they called it, with him. But she always refused until one Sunday during their turn to board the schoolmarm. When Ike asked Carrie that morning to come with him to church, Miss Brooks said, Carrie, anyone can see something wonderful has happened to Mr. Pickard. If you don't go with him to church, I am. Well, what a scandal that would have been. Carrie and the children accompanied Papa to church. Once inside, Carrie could not deny the presence of the same Spirit she was born of. And she received the fullness of the Holy Spirit and joined her husband in what proved to be a lifetime of service to the Lord, especially in the area of prayer. The Pickards became pillars in the Pentecostal community, beginning with its terribly persecuted roots. One night when they arrived at church, a dead chicken was fastened to the wooden stoop by an axe through its neck. The blood-stained note beneath read, "Next time this will be your neck if you cross this doorstep." That's why the praising, praying Pentecostals took refuge at the Pickard place, where a long, deep canyon cut through the farm. In summer, they walked and prayed on the canyon floor. And if they had a burden, or if they got happy, no critical ears could hear. In winter, they prayed in the Pickard home. Ike and Carrie Pickard, my great-grandparents, became known as praying people, and the Pickard place was known as a place of prayer. Now I'm going to give you a few witnesses to all of this. When the Lord spoke to me about Prayer Mountain, he said, "I have kept your father alive to give witness." My father, Willie Combs, was 82 at the time I wrote this book. He was spry physically and spiritually. He was always an inspiration. Everyone loves to hear him pray. I wrote, he was alive then. His prayers bear the marks of his praying grandparents, Isaac and Carrie Pickard. Since the formative years of his life were lived in close proximity to them, he is a reliable witness. Daddy's mother, the Pickard's youngest daughter, Nanny, married his father, William Frederick Combs, the cotton gin owner's son. First, they had a daughter, whom they lovingly called Little Jewel. 2 years later, a son, William Isaac Combs, was born on November 14, 1915. On one Friday, my father was born. On the next Friday, two-year-old Little Jewel died from complications of chickenpox and pneumonia. And on the next Friday, their father, William Frederick Combs, was killed in a cotton gin accident. So when my dad was 2 weeks old, his father died. Nanny Pickard Combs moved back home with her parents, who managed to care for her and to spoil little Willie. Even after Nanny remarried, Willie had two homes, one with Grandma and Grandpa Pickard, and one with his mother and his new father, Will Cody, who proved to be a wonderful husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. Some of my daddy's happiest memories are of life with his grandparents. He loved to go with them to the meetings. He tells of how they would go in a horse-drawn buggy, laid down with fresh baked cakes, blackberry cobblers, fried chicken, and Grandma Pickard's famous little biscuits with butter and blackberry or wild plum jelly for the biscuits. One of their favorite places to go was Oneida, Oklahoma, between Broken Arrow and Coweta, where some of the best meetings of that day took place. It's hardly recognizable now, or maybe they've built it up, I don't know, but for a long time you barely knew where Oneida was. It was about a 9-mile trip from the farm there, but Daddy said it seemed so far away. My daddy, Little Willie then, was as much at home sleeping on a pallet under a bench at his grandparents' feet as if he were tucked in his own bed at home. For services went into the wee hours of the morning, and they could last for days or weeks. Singers came from all over Oklahoma. More than one preacher always preached. People gave Spirit-anointed testimonies of divine healing and of how the Lord worked in their lives. And there was always happy shouting and singing and dancing in the Holy Ghost. Daddy says that several times he observed the miracle of someone dancing off the end of the altar bench out into the air with nothing visible under their feet. I think it's interesting today that David Ingalls' Oasis Radio Network is broadcast, or it was at least for a long time, from a tower in Oneida, Oklahoma. What Daddy talks about most is how those people prayed, those early day Pentecostals. You see, they believed they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and given unknown tongues in order to pray about the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 14:2. They believed they were to pray about God's work till Jesus comes. Daddy says that at every meal, his grandpa Pickard would say, "Pull out your chair, son, and kneel beside it." In that manner, all at the table prayed together before each meal. To the day he died, Grandpa Ike Pickard's influence was indelibly imprinted on my daddy. He prayed long, sincere, heaven-touching prayers before every meal. No short prayers for him. Kylie, my granddaughter, laughingly says we never had a warm Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, but we all loved every word, and from the newest baby up to my precious mother, Marie Comus, we were all blessed every time. At the end of the prayer, usually a few could be seen wiping tears of blessing from their eyes. And when my daddy moved to heaven in 2001, we so missed him at Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for a long time. Mm-hmm. We missed those prayers. Mm-hmm. Grandpa Isaac Pickard, who influenced my dad, prayed all day as he did his chores. He liked to pray loudly. After all, he sang loudly before he got saved. My Aunt Letha Wheeler Cody, told me how she and her sister Osie were afraid of Isaac Pickard when they were little girls. They had to walk down the dusty road past the Pickard place on their way to school. Ike would be milking in the barn near the road when they passed by, and he would be praying. The little sisters always walked at the far side of the road and hurried past as fast as they could go. However, later, Aunt Lethe and her husband, Uncle Clarence Cody, became some of the best resources about these meetings to me. Now, this is the same spirit that we're going to have manifest, mm-hmm, and the same emphasis on prayer in our upcoming annual Autumn Assembly in Branson, Missouri, at the Hilton Convention Center, October 24th through 28th. We'll be there all the days but the last day, and on that Monday, we go out to Prayer Mountain for a big tent meeting. We want you to come and bring your supply of the Spirit. This is a different type meeting. It's not so much one where people come even to receive as it is where they come to give and to work with God in prayer. We'd like to know you're coming, and you can find details by calling 1-800-972-3447, or you can go online to billybrim.org, billybrim.org. See you there. Shalom.